I do this for my culture.
For the culture, right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely, the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me this evening, folks. Tonight, we got a great show for you. We're going to have a shorter show this evening because we are going to be switching over at the 6 o'clock hour for Morgan State basketball. So we just will have just the first hour, but it's going to be a jam-packed first hour. And I'm really, really happy that you're able to join me this evening. Happy Thursday. Yes. Yeah. Happy Thursday, folks. Man. Today is the first full day. Dre, today is the first full day of President Biden and Vice President Harris. Yeah. 15 executive orders have been signed by the president already. He has already gone to work. He's gone to work, folks. 15 executive orders, and the vice president, she is moving forward with her duties. I'm really excited. This is kind of interesting. This is very, very interesting. The big conversation on Capitol Hill is the fact that now they're trying to figure out when the impeachment trial for the Senate will take place. Senator Chuck Schumer of New York is now the Senate Majority Leader. And so they're trying to figure out how this thing is going to work. The president wants to move forward with this impeachment situation, get it out the way. He's trying to move forward. He's trying to move the country on. Like, all right, let's go. Let's hurry up. So they're trying to work it out. But I think this situation, real talk, I think this situation is really going to go to a full-blown trial. I don't think this is going to be like the last impeachment, new trial. No. I think this is going to go through a trial. I think this is really going to go through a trial. Speaking of president, former President Donald Trump went down to Florida. Now he's trying to live his best life and all of that stuff. And I know he's on edge, folks. If I was in his position, I would be on edge, to be honest with you. Dre, would you be on edge if you was Donald Trump right now? Like, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to happen. Yeah, he's going to be on edge. Yesterday's inauguration was very, very, it was like mixed reviews. I don't know if people really tuned in. Like, some people love some elements of it. I've seen a lot of people talk about the Obamas. Dre, let's give the Obamas a round of applause. We can give them a round of applause. Michelle Obama. First thing, let me just tell y'all something. Michelle Obama, how come Michelle Obama seemed like she's gotten younger and Barack gotten older? I don't know how that happens. He got more gray hair. Michelle's hair is just going back to her baby phase or something. Like, I don't understand it. But she came out and everybody, I've seen it all up and down my timeline on social media, and everybody's talking about how she just slayed. She just, oh my God, she slayed it. She killed it. I love them. I was like, are they public servants or are they celebrities? Like, I don't know. It's a very thin line in America culture today. You know what I mean? So that is the big thing. But then, of course, along with that situation, we were talking to you yesterday about the fact of Amanda Gorman, who's the National Poet Laureate, the 22-year-old sister who dazzled Washington and the rest of the country. I knew this was going to happen, folks. As soon as she walked up to the podium, I was like, she could say whatever out her mouth. She's about to just, people are going to just show her so much love. And yes, they'd have all the past. I'm sure her social media and her life is about to just go in a whole different space. Everybody from Oprah to Viola Davis to Michelle and Barack Obama. I mean, a lot of black folks just have embraced this sister as their own. And so, you know, she talked about growing up in a single family household. Well, her household just got much bigger. Her family is huge now. And because she is riding high. I mean, her rendition, her recital of The Hill We Climb has been just been phenomenal in terms of the response. And along with that, our very own Dr. David Wilson, the prestigious president here at Morgan State University, he, along with so many other folks, was so impressed with this National Poet Laureate that he even offered her, Amanda Gorman, a job because of the recital of her poem at the inauguration. I'm not even joking, folks. This is real talk. In a tweet, Dr. Wilson said, quote, at the Amanda Gorman, Miss Gorman, I need you as our poet in residence at the National Treasure, Morgan State University. Outstanding. Consider this a job offer. Drake, I need something around that, man. Yes. He said it, folks. He said that. Yep, he surely did say that. He went as far as to even say, I mean, this is something. This is something. This is what happens when you become impressive. He said, and according to an interview, that this was a spontaneous response. He was just so inspired. But he is like 100% genuine. He's really serious. He said, quote, I was glued to the TV as I was watching her. He said, I'm very serious about opening an opportunity for her to come here as a poet in residence. We have all kinds of authors on campus, and we think that being at Morgan for a year would give her an even deeper and wider perspective on the issues she is addressing. If she would accept this offer, I would move on it in a heartbeat. I will be watching my emails. Can you believe that? Dr. David Wilson. You know, next time I get the president on, I got to ask him about that, see if she's sent any emails yet. But he's serious about that. He's super serious that he would offer her, that he would offer her a job opportunity here. I didn't even know that was a possibility, but a poet in residence. And I mean, I'm just thinking, I don't know if any other HBCU has offered her, if they even reached out to her. But I will say, for Dr. Wilson's credit, that was a phenomenal idea. Like, sometimes you just got to go off of pure inspiration and spontaneity. And for him to even reach out like that and say that he would create a space for her, create an opportunity for her, that's super dope. So big shout out to Dr. Wilson. Amanda, we're waiting on your response, man. We are waiting on your response. Just a year. That's all. You're 22 years old. A year will go by really fast, but I'm telling you, it will be worth it. It would be worth it for you to spend a year as a poet in residence here at Morgan State University in Baltimore. You want to know what is really, really, you want to go deeper, deeper, deeper? Spend some time in Baltimore. We'll learn you a few things. I'm telling you, we'll learn you a few things. So big shout out to Dr. Wilson on that. All right, folks. Also, tonight we got a big conversation for our big conversation. We want to talk about Mayor Brandon Scott. My sister, Dr. K, talked a little bit about it as she was closing out her show. But the mayor now is pulling back some restrictions on indoor and outdoor dining. During a press conference yesterday, Mayor Scott announced restaurants can open indoor dining at 25% and outdoor dining at 50%. But diners can only stay for an hour. Also, you have to sign a diner's log when you go to the restaurant of your choice, so that way they can keep track of who's coming and who's going. So I wanted just to have a conversation about this tonight and get your take on, you know, this whole idea of rolling back the restrictions. The city's positivity rates, and it's still a little bit over 5%, which is one of the key metrics. But the mayor said that the metrics for the hospitalization has gone down. And then he said that we're on a trend downward. So my question is, do you think that restaurants will follow the guidelines of a one-hour dining session for each guest? Now, that's the thing. I see that the mayor's kind of in a tough spot. You can't continue to allow restaurants to kind of continue to suffer. So this is a possibility of bringing some life back into the industry locally. But do you think that these restaurants are going to keep to that 1 hour time limit? And, you know, if they don't keep to this 1 hour time limit, do you think the restaurants will make up their own rules? Ah, because I know, Demi, I know your dining experience. I know Demi likes to go out to eat a lot, y'all. When Demi likes to go out to eat, 1 hour, 1 hour is just simply not enough. It's just not enough. Matt, and I'm thinking about from the time you walk to the door to the time you sit down in the restaurant, you know, that whole process, right? Most of the time, it will take about 30 minutes or so to prepare people's foods. Then you have to consider, you know, eating it. Some people are slow eaters. Some people eat like their life depends on it. So, okay, so it depends on the range, that on the spectrum you fall in. And then you got to figure out, you know, that whole, you know, hey, can I get some dessert? It's like dessert to go. Or, you know, I just want to kind of sit here and savor the moment of the dining experience. Like, that has to be all, like, cut short. So what's your take on this? 410-319-8888. Call me. Let me know what your thoughts on this. Do you think that now that we're in this new place, we're talking about 50% for outdoor dining, 25% capacity for indoor dining, you have 1 hour time limit for this indoor dining, do you think restaurants will follow the guidelines of an hour during dining for every guest, or do you think the restaurants will make up their own rules? I want to hear your thoughts on it. 410-319-8888. 410-319-8888. And I would love to hear what you got to say. Also, you can post your comments on my Facebook page at Faraji Muhammad as we are broadcasting live on Facebook. 410-319-8888. Now, there are still some people that have been upset with the mayor. Some restaurant owners who are saying that even though he's looking to do this, that it's still not enough. Some restaurant owners are saying that it's just, hey, you know, Mr. Mayor, the industry is suffering too much for this little bit of decision making. This kind of, it's suffering too much. We would love to hear your thoughts on that. Let me go to the front. Let me kick it off with Jordan tonight. Jordan, thank you so much for checking in. What's your take on this, Jordan? Do you think that restaurants will follow this one-hour guideline?
No, I don't think. How you doing,
sir? I'm good.
All right. I don't think so. Because, like you said, by the time they fix the meal,
yeah,
the meal is going to be at least 20, 25 minutes.
That's on average.
You're sitting down to eat.
Yep.
Okay, you don't have no time to eat, and you don't have no time to chit-chat.
No.
So that, an hour's not, and I don't think they're going to have anyone signing, not many, signing no form. Absolutely not.
So you think they're going to make up their own rules?
I think they will, because who's going to monitor them?
And you know what, Jordan? That was one of my big questions. Like, you're not going to have somebody walking around the restaurant with a clock, with a stopwatch, and be like,
oop, they're not going to come in all those restaurants to do that monitoring. Who's going to pay for that?
I think the city government is trying to put the, it's like a good faith type of policy that, you know, like because here's the thing. If you have restaurants, and this is the double-edged sword of it. If you have restaurants that say, all right, bump that. I'm not doing that. We're going to open. Yeah, all right, fine. We'll do the 25%. But at the same time, I'm not putting time limits. Then you run the risk of getting people exposed to the virus.
And I don't think it's a good idea at all. I think it's too risky for that.
Okay.
Open up like that. I think that sometimes they want to open up for certain people. And God forgive me for that.
Yeah.
It's like they want to open up because they don't want to hurt this group of people. They want to listen to this group of people, but they don't want to do this for this group of people.
Yeah.
So they have to please groups of people.
Yeah.
But I want to say something that's not on your topic today.
Go ahead.
That I heard today on TV, on CNN.
Go ahead.
Lindsey Graham had made a statement about they don't think they should go forth with the impeachment because it will hurt the Senate. Also, he said that he wants Donald Trump to come back in 2022 to really help the Senate regain the Senate again.
All right, so you know what you just shared with me? You know what you just shared with me, right, Joy?
Uh-huh.
A bunch of, in the words of Joe Biden, it's a bunch of malarkey.
Oh, my God.
Like, he literally think about. And I'm not saying this is certainly you're just making a statement, but I'm just saying, look how stupid that sounds.
Sound it. It's like he is the worst.
Like Lindsey Graham sounds absolutely insane.
He got to stay on the right side.
I mean, seriously. Like, I don't understand because you on January the 6th, we saw people literally. I mean, he was one of the people in the Capitol running for his life.
Absolutely. And said, I'm not going to stand for this anymore. But now you come back.
Now you want to say he should come. Not only should you not impeach him.
Flipped me today. Why would you say that today? After inauguration? Why? I don't get Lindsey. But you know what? Lindsey's going to be out there too.
You know what?
Just a matter of time.
That's what. You know what? You're right. It's not on my topic.
I don't
today,
want to go into that stuff too much, but God bless you.
We don't have
I
enough
had to
time.
Get that off of my mind because it was on my mind.
No, I appreciate that, Jordan. I really do appreciate it. We don't have enough time to deal with that stupidity. That sounds absolutely insane to me.
All right. I love your station.
I appreciate you. Thank you, Jordan, for checking in. Man, that sounds insane. Got my blood boiling a little bit. All right, folks, let's get back to it. We're talking about this indoor dining ban. The Mayor Scott is talking about making some revisions. The ban actually will be some parts of this ban or the lifting of the ban will start tomorrow, kicking off at 6 a.m. But the point is that, okay, trying to bring patrons back into the restaurant industry. 25% indoor dining, 50% outdoor dining. 1 hour time limit, you got to sign in on the diner's log. My question, do you think restaurants will follow these guidelines of an hour for dining, or do you think they will make up their own rules? 410-319-8888. Michael, talk to me. What's your take on this, sir?
It's an opportunity to express my opinion.
Sure.
But if we get back to that initial reason for slowing down things, it's the dollar over public safety. And what I see here is another situation where though the public is not secure in terms of receiving the vaccine that is needed to control this virus, and especially amongst our people, yet these folks have the political pull to cause the government to sway things their way so they can go downtown and look over the Inner Harbor and drink their cocktails and whatever the weather. But the wherewithal, and here's the bottom line, this virus doesn't care who it attacks.
Right.
And so we must make that our priority over everything. And I want to say, you didn't mention this, but I heard this on the last program.
Right.
I'm a retired teacher, and I hear the governor wants to get the schools open.
Yep.
Under no, you know, this is the priority. Yet things are not right for our kids to be placed in the situations that they're going to be placed in. And until we have a condition in this country where the virus is under control and it can be validated and people can feel safe, then we should not be drawn into these kinds of situations that we put ourselves in danger because of the seeking of profits. And that's the basis of all this. These folks want to make money. They're losing money, and that money means more to them than the lives of the people in the city and in and around.
Yeah.
So until they can prove, until everyone has a safe assurance of this vaccine, that's going to be my litmus test.
I hear you.
As far as the safety of things.
Hey, Michael, I hear you loud and clear, and I appreciate you for checking in. I definitely understand, and you make some valid points. Let's go back to the line. Jonathan, talk to me. What's your take on this? Do you think the restaurants are going to kind of stick to these guidelines, Jonathan?
I think the restaurants will put it up as 1 hour time limit. But if a restaurant isn't busy, they're not going to force patrons out. You know, and also, you know, if they have people waiting, wanting to come in, yes, they're going to look at the time limit, try to get people to move within 1 hour. But you're talking about Baltimore City, with the people in Baltimore City seems to not want to follow rules and regulations, you know. But, you know, and then a restaurant needs to be able to get food on the table in enough time. I go to a restaurant, it takes 15 minutes or longer sometimes for them to get the food to me, you know, if I'm waiting to eat.
Yeah.
And one other thing that I want to put on the table,
go ahead.
And your take, maybe you need to talk about tomorrow, what happens in Portland? You know, people are, I think, I don't want to use the word, but they're taking Black Lives Matter to a whole new state where it makes it not important anymore. You know, they're out demonstrating, burning, looting, you know, because Biden got nominated, and this was Black Lives Matter's people. So it doesn't make any sense because they're making it seem the importance that it was initially, they have taken it to a whole new level, which makes it not important anymore.
Yeah.
It makes it criminal activities now for no apparent reason out there. And I can understand us continuing to organize, continuing to vote like the Black the Tea Party did when Obama was elected. They became a political force. We need to become a political force, but we will not be that way if we criminalize the activity that people go out and try to do things.
No doubt. And that's a good point. That's an excellent point. And I think that with the Black Lives Matter situation, I think we need to kind of be in defense of that part of the movement. Like, you may not agree with all the tenets of it, but the movement of Black Lives Matter is an evolution, is a continuation of all of the movements that we have, you know, we love and speak of and admire. Whether it's the Black Power movement, whether it's the Civil Rights movement, whether, you know, the labor movement, however you want to, whatever movement you want to kind of reference. But Black Lives Matter is not the enemy. And I think it's important that as Black folks, we know that. It's important that white folks, that Latinos, Native Americans, it's important that people understand that Black Lives Matter comes out of a space of bringing up the fact that Black lives has disproportionately and historically, even up to this point, been disregarded and put on the back burner of this country. So it's not the enemy. Okay, you don't agree with the strategy. You don't agree with, with who, you may not like some of the people that have been putting out there and kind of standing for the idea of Black Lives Matter. But Black Lives Matter as a movement is a continuation of all the movements that we've been seeing happening within the Black community. And in order for us to protect the integrity of that movement, we have to say, you know what? It's not perfect, but it is our movement. It came out of the mind of three Black women. It's still our movement. All right, let's go back to the line on this restaurant issue. Let me see. Oh, you know what? Let's take a quick pause. When we come back, I got Thomas T., Charles, and Glow, and I want to hear what you got to say. The ban of the indoor restaurant ban, folks, is getting revised. There's going to be some lifting here in the city of Baltimore. The ban is going to be lifted tomorrow, starting at 6 o'clock a.m., 50% capacity for outdoor dining, 25% capacity for indoor dining. However, if you're doing indoor dining and outdoor dining, you have a one-hour time limit and you have to sign a log. This is an effort to try to keep Baltimore City and going in a positive downward space. What's your take on it? Do you think restaurants will follow these guidelines of an hour, or do you think the restaurants will make up their own rules? Join me in a conversation. 410-319-8888. 410-319-8888. Stay riding with me. It's For the Culture on WEAA.
I do this for my culture.
Peace and welcome back to For the Culture on WEAA, 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely, the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me. Folks, tonight we've been talking about this restaurant ban that is in place right now in Baltimore City. However, the some parts of the restaurant ban will be lifted tomorrow, starting at 6 o'clock a.m. Mayor Scott has put out a statement. He did a press conference just the other day about this situation, about changing some of the criteria for the ban. According to the numbers and to the mayor, he said the decision was made because Baltimore COVID metrics are improving. The hospitalizations are down, and the positivity rate is now 5.6%. The mayor said, quote, "We're just hopeful that we can continue to keep them open and hopeful that our cases continue to go the way that they have." He said, "I know this is something some of the surrounding counties have considered. It's about trying to limit the amount of time people are going to be in that situation, but also thinking about it from the business owner's point of view, too, and not allowing them in the limited capacity to have more people come through their doors throughout the day." So that's why they decided to make a little switch where now restaurants will be able to accommodate patrons. Outdoor dining will be limited to 50% capacity. Indoor dining limited to 25% capacity. Both will be limited to a one-hour time limit. Indoor dining requires a log of diners. And the same rules will also apply to bars and breweries. Let's get back to the phone line, see what you got to say. Charles, talk to me. What's your take on it, sir?
Well, the first thing is he may not have explained everything all the way through. Because, as you have already stated, 1 hour is not enough time from beginning to end if you follow the line. Maybe it starts once they place the plate onto the table. But even with that, It's all. I mean, who's gonna be the monitor or the inspector to look after that? So I think what will happen, they will try to keep it to the hour.
Mm-hmm.
But if it goes over, they might say, you know what, this is not working, and they will incorporate what they feel is best for them.
Until you're talking about the restaurant owners.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
So you're saying the restaurant owner is really going to go in a way of making up their own rules because the accountability from the city is not. I mean, you can't have everybody, you know, somebody from the city sitting in the restaurant.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. There's no one there to police it. No one there to follow it through and make sure that the hour, the 60 minutes, boom, you got to go. It's not going to happen. So to even state 1 hour, I think was just a waste of time.
So but do you think they should open up the restaurants at all? I mean, for indoor dining?
I do. I think they need to start opening a lot of things because it's been a year. And even though people are passing away, God bless their souls, we're getting to a point where it seems like it's starting to mellow down. But we have to see. And so, I mean, let's say nobody does anything. They shut the whole city down once again. And then 6-8 months from now, they open the city back up and we can do whatever. Then all of a sudden, it goes on the rise again, even worse than what it was. If you give them a chance to do a little, you can see what happens. If they open up the restaurants and the percentage starts to creep up, that tells them we have to close the restaurants.
Yeah.
And that shows the owners, too. We have to close the restaurant. We gave you, we opened, we showed you, and this is what is happening. We have to, you know, conquer this disease before we, you know, open everything completely up.
Yeah.
So I think it should open at a little bit, at a little time. To put time restraints, it's silly.
Yeah.
What you should do is, most people are very conscious, and they'll go in. They may be there an hour and a half, maybe some people 2 hours. But after that, they're out of there.
The only problem with that, and I hear you loud and clear, the only concern, I'm not going to say problem, but the only concern I would have is that because we've been, quote unquote, inside for so long, that people may, if you got one person that feels, you know what, I can push the envelope a little bit, then the next person will feel compelled to push the envelope, and then you got another person to figure, and next thing you know, these restaurants are crowded again beyond 25% capacity. They start hosting super spreader dinners, and then, you know, we're in a tough spot. So it's like see, the whole thing about this is really not even the restaurants, nor is it even in the mayor. It's about us as the people. If and Charles, I gotta let you go, but I appreciate you for checking in. The thing is like if the people, if we as the citizens don't take this serious, then we're never going to get past this. We're never going to get, quote unquote, get back to normal. It's the people. It's us. It's not outside of us. The behavior is in us. Either we listen to the guidance or we don't listen to the guidance. And when we don't listen to the guidance, we see the consequences. We haven't even gotten to the point where we've listened to the guidance for long enough to see the benefits. Let's go back to the line. Let me hear from Aisha. Aisha, thank you for checking in.
Hey.
Hey, Aisha. How you doing, sis?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm all right, sis. So what's your take on this restaurant? Do you feel like they're gonna obey this one-hour guideline, or do you think they're going to make up their own rules?
I think they're going to make up their own rules because the reality of it is the customer service aspect to it. And so if you are serving something, and they're not done in an hour, you're going to let them sit. And I'm quite going to sit there and be like, okay, you got to get up. Your time is up. I don't care that you just got your food, however, you know, many minutes ago. So I think it's going to kind of be to their discretion on how they handle their customers, because there still is a customer service part of that. And if you... You know, the whole point of this is so that they can start getting some income. And so you don't want to be, running your customers away.
Right.
But another part of it, and unfortunately, I think people need to prepare themselves. Now that Trump is out of office, I think you're going to start seeing more states, more mayors start to say, oh, we can open up now. And it's not because COVID has gone away. The numbers look worse than what they looked like last year when they started shutting stuff down. Shoot, I just checked. America got over 150,000 new cases just today. We were not seeing that last year. So, you know, I think it's kind of odd that you are starting to see, like, the New York governor. I know the Chicago mayor has said something about they need to start opening it up because of the economy. And I'm like, the numbers are crazy, and you're talking about new strains and mutated this. So I do think that we're going to start to see them opening stuff up now that Trump is out of office. And unfortunately, it's not good. Nobody's going to be sitting there talking about COVID. It's going to be about the economy now.
Well, you know what, and I appreciate you, Aisha. It's so good to hear from you again, sis. I think that part of that, I mean, we do have to look at the economy, because even some of our people, black business owners, like, there are a couple of black businesses that have really suffered in Baltimore City as a result of the closures. You know, they're just not around. You know, trying to go to some of these black businesses and you know, you're trying to hear what they have to say. It's hard, man. It's really, really hard. So it's not, and I know that a lot of times this conversation is put into, oh, white people want to get back into the restaurants. But there are black people. You got black waitresses, black servers, black restaurant owners in the city of Baltimore and throughout the country that are hit hard by this. And I think we just need to be mindful of where we are. I mean, when you look at these numbers, it's like we're 24 million cases of COVID right now across this country. 24 million. And it hasn't even been a full year yet. This also, I think, will encourage restaurant owners to be responsible. They have to be responsible restaurant owners right now. I don't care if you got to put signage on the floor, signs up, offering masks. I mean, give people, of course people want to go out. People want to go out and enjoy themselves and don't feel like they have their lives are just going to be, you know, hunkered down. But you want to at least show that you give a damn. I mean, come on, let's be honest. You just want to show that you care. Thomas, talk to me. Then I got Glory, T, Carlos, and Robert.
Roger, how are you, young man?
I'm good, Thomas. How are you, big brother?
Well, man, you know, Roger, racism, once again, has raised its ugly head. Okay?
Yeah, I'm hearing you.
Last night, man, I don't watch Sean Hannity, okay?
Right. I watch him sometimes.
I had to watch that clown last night, okay? He said, this came out of his mouth. Biden's only been president for 8 hours, and he's already got 400,000 deaths under his belt from this virus.
Are you serious?
That's what he said.
He got 400,000 deaths under his... Biden, who just Biden. Got... Who just be...
Listen, that's the story that they're running with now. Man, when is the FCC going to step in and slam some of these folks, man?
Brother, I don't even know. I mean, it's that should go in the same bucket as the sister that called about Lindsey Graham.
Listen, Lindsey Graham is worried about something, okay?
Oh, well, he should be worried. He should be worried, for real talk.
Jamie Harris right now is the new head
of the Democratic National Convention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lindsey Graham should be worried right now.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know?
No
that
doubt.
That little snake, man. Trust me. I'm born and raised in Staten Island. And we call him Sidewalk Lindsey. That's what we call him.
Sidewalk Lindsey.
Yeah, he's Sidewalk Sissy. That's what we call him.
All right, so let me ask you a question real quick, Tom, because I want to make sure I get your thoughts on this. This restaurant issue, though.
Listen, the restaurant issue is a diversion for what's getting ready to come down the pike, okay? They want to push these kids back in school by February, March.
By March 1st.
By March 1st. The teachers haven't even been vaccinated yet, have they?
No, they're just starting the process. They got forms that they sent out, like authorization forms and stuff. Teachers union is pushing back on it. They're planning to do some sort of like strikes or some other sort of, you know, public resistance.
How are you going to force our precious babies to go back to school? And the teachers haven't been vaccinated yet. I heard once somebody said earlier about Governor Hogan wants the kids to go back.
Yeah, he just made that announcement today.
Yeah, Governor Hogan doesn't have any kids that go to public school. He has one grandbaby. That's all he has, okay? Mm-hmm. And the grandbaby doesn't even go to school yet. And I'm sure it won't be going to a public school. And this restaurant thing, man, you know, we often say, if you put pressure on Brandon Scott, he will cave and he will fold. The restaurant industry is putting pressure on him. and he's caving. He's folding to them because why? He went and he lied to them people when he was running for to become mayor, saying that they got a friend in him, and he turned around and wants to just basically their business, man.
Thomas, I'm going to stop you right there. I'm going to stop you right there just for the sake of time, and I want to get some other voices in. I hear you. Let's go back to the line. Glory, thank you for checking in. We got T, Carlos, and Robert up next. Glory, talk to
you. Yes, yes. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum salam, Glory.
Yes. I just want to go out and, you know, think outside the box. As far as the restaurants, and a lot of these restaurants know what they have to do, and I think that they're going to stick by the rules because they got too much to lose. They're going to lose their license, you know, and whatever. So I think they're going to stick to it. And I recall when... and you probably know, too, when you go to these places, all you can eat. I refuse to go to those places because I don't eat like that because I don't want to be obese.
Right.
So for years and years and years, I'll eat this for nothing, put it in the palm of my hand or cook at home.
Yeah.
That's the thing to do.
I don't even think those places, I mean, that's real hard for those places now.
Right, right. But if these people go out to these restaurants, and I think I heard it right, when they sign up, like when you do the go in, and they time you in. I'm quite sure the time going to be on that receipt. So when you go in and check out, that hour is going to be, you know, on that sheet.
Yeah.
So that's going to be the thing, man.
Yeah,
so,
but the question, and again, you're right about that, which is the login element. But the thing is, if the restaurant is honest and responsible enough to stay to that standard, I mean, it really could work to their benefit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying, Glory? Because if people know, and all it is takes a little word of mouth, if people know that your restaurant in that neighborhood is they're getting you in, they're getting you out, they're wiping you down, they're getting you masked. You know what I'm saying? They're taking all these precautions.
Of course.
That actually will help the business more.
Exactly.
Versus you trying to, you know what I mean? You trying to be slick with it.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's the thing. But the restaurant owners, they do have to recognize this, man, that
right,
when
exactly,
people eat
exactly.
and when people eat and when people drink, they are not on their best behavior.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Oh, well, but you have to do what you have to do to make it work. And lastly, remember when I talked to the mayor the other day?
Yes, sir.
What he did was they closed it down for coverage, you know, where they do the vaccine.
Uh-huh.
And they open up CCB on Liberty Heights. So that's where I'm getting ready to call up their register there, which is a good thing. So I'm quite sure he's going to open up other places, which makes sense. Because I did tell him if we didn't have a place in Baltimore City, and I don't drive, and I need to.
Well, they're now opening up BCCC. You talking about for the vaccines?
Yeah, for the vaccine.
They say they're going to open up BCCC in Baltimore City.
Right, right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Right down Liberty Heights, right down from Madonna.
Yep. Right. Hey, Glory, I got to let you go, but I appreciate you, brother. Thank you so much for checking in. Let me just share with you very quickly some of what of my Facebook watchers are saying. Lily checked in and said, sign in. They stopped putting funeral books for guests to sign in at viewings to stop the passing of COVID. Sharon said, how in the world can you order, cook, serve, and eat in 1 hour? I take 20 to 30 minutes to eat. If I eat too fast, my acid reflux will go berserk. I think they should stay closed until they can stay open. I repeatedly say that the hospitality industry need to lobby for themselves in D.C. for funding from the government to cover salaries and overhead fees until they can safely open permanently. Chris checked in and said, that ain't coming from just Hogan. Biden said himself today he wants schools open, so it's now even getting pushed from the new administration also. Mario checked in and said, Brandon Scott will probably get restaurant owners sign a document saying city is not liable for patrons getting exposed to COVID if they get sick and try to sue. That may be a possibility there, Mario. Folks, keep your comments going as we talk about this issue. Let's go to T. T, thank you for your patience. What's your take?
There is not a chicken, a piece of pie, or collard greens that is worth me getting COVID.
Praise be to God. My husband and I had COVID in August.
Oh, wow. I'm glad that you...
We had a very mild case.
Good.
I patronize restaurants by ordering takeout and bringing my tail home where I can safely sit down and eat. You said it yourself. When people eat and drink, they get sloppy.
Yep.
You sitting there talking, your saliva going on. We don't know the magnitude of how this thing. My husband and I don't really know how we got the darn mess. But it's no piece of food or drink or socializing that's worth me taking a chance of dying for. Go order carryout. Bring it home.
And T, I'm glad you brought this up. What do you say to restaurant owners? I mean, especially to black ones, because there are black restaurants in this city that are suffering because of closures. What do you say to them?
Push carry out. I am a Uber Eats driver, and I'm a hate to say this, but some of our black restaurants are the sloppiest. Their workers have their mask on over their mouth. Their nose are exposed while they're cooking. I'm telling you, if you're not supposed to have a certain amount of people in the restaurant standing there, you got people. They're small, old, cramped places. So they're not doing what they're supposed to do now. If you open up these restaurants, I just say it's like a buyer beware. You want to risk your life to get something to eat, to sit around and yak with somebody? It's up to you. Just because you can do something does not mean you should do it.
There it is. I got to stop you right there. Just because you can do something does not mean you can do it. Carlos, talk to me, sir.
How's everything?
Good, brother. How are you, Carlos?
Hey, I'm great. Good. I'm like, this is the first time calling for me, right?
Fantastic. Welcome, brother. Welcome.
I listen to you every day, man. It's just something I got between you and a sister at 5 and you now, man. Y'all make my day coming home from work.
Fantastic.
I'm going to tell you something real.
Yeah.
Brandon Scott, I don't know what he be thinking about. He already know, man. These numbers are getting crazy right now. They getting stupid crazy. Like the sister just said, we need to just shut these places down, get your little carry out, take it home, have fun with your family, and then when this stuff goes, you can do all that stuff later on. But right now, this city, it ain't happening. People doing just too much crazy things out here and worrying about just eating. Man, you can eat at home. I don't know what Brandon Scott be thinking. What they need to do is shut all of this down and just do like the other countries doing. Just take everything one at a time, make it work, pay people a little bit of money, keep them in the house, and make everybody whole. Nobody paying that rent already. They already not doing that. So guess what? They find a way not to spend money. So now you worrying about these. You actually worrying about these restaurants? Man, they got money, man. They been doing it for 100 years. I mean, as the people of our own, we got to look out for each other because they ain't going to look out for us.
Hey, look, let me tell you something. You ain't lying about that. We do have to look out for each other. And Carlos, I appreciate you. I'm so glad that you're a first-time caller, but don't let this be the last time, brother.
Oh, definitely won't.
I appreciate you. You know, I think the fact is, folks, I'm going to, you know what? Let me take Robert, and then we're going to take Robert. It's going to be our final call tonight. Robert, what's your take on this, brother?
Well, I'm not sure what the solution is now.
Yeah.
Because, you see, it should have been handled differently a year ago. And we'll be having these problems now. That is, we have no national policy.
Oh, you going back to when Trump found out that this situation was going to be serious.
And kept pretending that it was nothing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Until February or March.
Right.
You know. So that's part of it. We don't have a national policy. Now, some gentleman just said that, you know, in some other countries they do this, that, and other thing. And he has a point, because there are some places, some countries in which there is already stimulus arriving every month, in which there's already things for, you know, different, I guess, business or enterprises.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And it may be that they will be open or can open sooner because they did what they were supposed to do early on.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, the problem now, I don't know. It may be better to stay closed. And maybe you need to get a national policy.
Well, you know what? There is somewhat of a national policy right now, Robert. Like, President Biden just signed an executive order where he's asking people to wear face masks, at least face masks on federal property. So I think he's trying to get closer to the point where there is so much of a more structured policy around it.
It won't be in place or effective by tomorrow.
That's what I'm saying. it's not going to be in place by tomorrow. The only thing is, let me just say this, and I think, Robert, you would agree with me on this, brother. You got to use the best of your intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're not comfortable with going inside of a restaurant and eating, or you're not comfortable with how those restaurants are handling things, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to eat there.
Well, you know, I'm somebody who occasionally does like to dine. I haven't done it, and I miss it. But
I miss it, too.
You got to get this in order. I have things delivered to my house. Now, I do that. But I tell you the thing, this 1 hour deadline.
Yep, you got 1 hour to
nobody
get.
Nobody dies like that.
Yeah.
Nobody. I'm somebody who, I'm not saying somebody I do every day, but it has been a part of my lifestyle, just like cinema, right?
Yeah.
It's the same thing you tell somebody, are you going to be in the movie house, but you got to be out of here an hour?
Yeah.
It don't work like that.
No, brother, it don't work like that. It don't work. And I got to let you go, but you absolutely are right. It doesn't work like that at all. Folks, use the best of intelligence, but just know, and up to all my restaurant owners that listen and that tune in, be responsible. Show people that you care about life just as much as you care about the sustainability of your business. Nobody wants to see restaurants close. Nobody wants to see it. Restaurants play an important part of our community, of our city. They provide, they are a great service to us in a lot of different ways. But we want you to be responsible. Don't put profit over people. And more importantly, folks, just use the best of intelligence. Use the best of intelligence. And if your favorite restaurant is not PPP equipped, COVID ready, advise them, hey, are you guys going to get plexiglass? Are you guys going to get masks? Are you guys going to get some signage on the floor? Are you guys going to turn over tables after 1 hour? What are you going to do? We can help the industry stay alive if we are responsible. And again, it comes down to us, folks. If we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing, then guess what? You can't expect the mayor and you can't expect restaurant owners to do something for you that you should already be doing yourself. All right, folks, that's it for me. Stay tuned. Up next is some great Morgan sports right here on WEAA. I want to thank my fantastic team, Mallory Pinker, Pierre, my man Dre Day, and, of course, my wonderful producer, Demi Goff. As always, never be afraid to challenge what's wrong. Stand for what's right while being yourself in the process. I look forward to talking to you again, God willing, tomorrow night for another exciting edition of For the Culture here on WEAA 88.9 FM. Absolutely the voice of the community. Remember, Baltimore, do more, but be exceptionally good for the culture. Peace.